Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sport Intern Special, a series of podcasts in which we speak to the movers and shakers within the Olympic movement. In this episode, we speak to two athletes who recently retired and are both veterans of the Olympic Games. Ireland's Natalia Coyle and Britain's James Cook are both modern pentathletes, and as athletes' representatives, they were instrumental in bringing about the change that modern pentathlon has introduced since equestrian was removed and obstacle racing came in. I caught up with both of them to find out more about their role in bringing about this exciting change to modern pentathlon.
Look at Ninja in America, the audience is massive, the youth participation is huge as well. And that's something that our sport needs, but also kind of the Olympic movement as a whole also needs. So it is really exciting. You know, for me, I said that it would be amazing if our sport, you know, we have Olympic champions who aren't really known. And, you know, Jamie there won a European championships in the year of coming up to an Olympic Games. And like, he should have been big, big news. And just it wasn't in our sport. So I'm hoping that this can make it, you know, I suppose just become such a powerful and sport for everyone, really. I'm really excited by it.
You know, as a sport, we've always been one of those sort of minority sports at the Games, and what hopefully this does is gives us an opportunity really to not only just to add value to the Olympic brand and the Olympic movement, but also to add value to our sport.
How easy is it then to just suddenly just ditch one discipline, which is very traditional and a very popular discipline in terms of riding, and then just jump onto a completely different sort of discipline altogether?
I think in modern pentathlon, there's always been kind of an evolution of our sport, even you look back to the very, very start of it. So it is something that, you know, we're not necessarily like always enjoying, but there is always change, and that comes in sport as well. You've got to be able to roll with the punches. But, you know, one of the big problems that was with horse riding is accessibility. You know, the wealthier countries were able to easily access really good horses, really good training. And then you kind of go to the less well-developed countries and just it was too expensive. So something like this is really making it really accessible for all, not just future generations of sport, but the current sports. Like we have a really good Pan American athlete, Tamara Vega, and she said all the Mexicans are really excited because they find it really difficult to horse ride. And that immediately has eliminated this issue.
It is quite elite. You know, you need equipment, you need a certain kind of technique, training, which, I mean, horse riding is very popular around the world, but you know, this is a very specific discipline in terms of sport. Were you always aware of that from the inside?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, it's the affluent nations that have the opportunities to have training centers, to have riding camps, to be able to afford to go on those, you know, those riding lessons, etc. But this has opened up, you know, this level playing field. And as we enter into this year, which will be the first time it's going to be tested for juniors and under 19s and under 17s, hopefully we can see that that playing field, because everyone will be starting from the sort of same point, but it opens up the world. And that's one of the things that we didn't have. We had, you know, affluent nations that would go around and sweep up medals. We would have, you know, slightly less affluent nations that really did well and punched above their weight. But we never unlocked the world. And this is hopefully gives us that opportunity to do that.
And you've both been very successful in this sport. How big a part was riding, you know, a discipline for you within that, in terms of, as you say, James, you know, like sweeping up, gaining the points to get to that position where you've got a medal? I mean, did it play a major a part in the sport of the disciplines that you did within modern pentathlon, the riding part?
Yeah, I think so. And again, just, you know, a small anecdote. When we walk around, say, for example, the Tokyo Games, you know, we walked around the riding course at the start, you know, pre-competition, and we get to walk the course. And you can visibly see the nations that are well prepared, you know, that they've had this training, they've had this background, they've jumped fences, and they've had horses that are able to jump to the required standard, and we've all trained on that. And then you can visibly see some of the other nations through no fault of their own. It's just it's a different culture. You know, we have a riding culture in Great Britain and Germany and Ireland, but they're looking at these jumps going, oh, we've never jumped something this big. We've never seen a horse do this.
I was just adding to that. It's like, we do have a horse riding culture in Ireland, but we had accessibility issues massively, like huge accessibility for that level. So this takes it out. And like, one of the big things that like I always see with our sport is we kind of lack that commercial element, because, you know, putting money into a game of chance is really difficult, but we've taken chance away now. So, you know, with obstacle racing, like, that excites me. The fact that the best athlete on the day is going to win a medal. And that is like, that is it down to the ground, where you're not going to have issues with horse riding or anything like that. It is the best athlete that will win. And that to me is really exciting. And I feel like sponsors and TV and everything can get around that, because it's exciting. You know that there's going to be the winner at the end of the day is the outright, you know, the champion. And I think that's really, really exciting.
Is it a bit binary then for me to suggest that perhaps, because there's been a lot of division within the athletes themselves, there was almost a lobby group, you know, of athletes that were against riding being banned. Would it be too simplistic to say, well, that was just the athletes that had that advantage, you know, because they come from those countries perhaps, or that had the experience of, you know, horse riding, which gave them an advantage over other athletes that didn't? Or were there other reasons, perhaps more to do with the culture of riding as well? You know, it's a very historical sport in terms of, if you look at equestrian, you know, which is a separate thing altogether, it's very popular. But, you know, what do you think was the reason for that divide amongst yourselves as athletes? Because it wasn't universal, was it, in the offset, that everyone said, yeah, riding, let's get rid of it, let's look for another solution?
I think, and Tao, you know, jump in and sort of bring your opinion to it, but I think riding is one of these beautiful sports. You know, there's no getting away from it. It's a fantastic sport that, you know, you have man and beast or woman and beast, and people grow up, you know, loving horses. I came from a family that we didn't ride, you know, we didn't have horses, and I fell in love with it. And it's important to remember, you know, it's not that we're anti-riding when we were sort of going through this change, but for our sport to be able to, you know, make those changes and make it more accessible and make it more, you know, profound for the Olympic movement, that's the decision process. And everyone that was part of that decision process, pentathletes on, you know, young and old, recognize that once you spell it out, this is the position that we're in, that's when it suddenly becomes, okay, you know, for our sport, we need to grow, we need to develop. And we believe that with obstacles, that's the best way forward.
You know, the kind of beauty of other people as well is that they can give your opinion, and no one's opinion is wrong, it's just their opinion. So it was really important for us as the athlete reps to take all of those into account. You know, there was, once you sit down with athletes and explain like kind of what's up, but you know, at the current moment in time, everyone understands. And you know, we're here to not just save our sport, to cement it in history and to kind of make it a whole new generation of athletes. And you know, to see it, I suppose, like, not an awful lot of athletes want to be vocal as well, like that's completely their prerogative. And you know, when you listen to some of the African nations as well, they're like, they were very excited from start to finish. And you know, I think it's just everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but I think when we sat down with athletes and we did, why we, I don't think we started just kind of in 2021 as athlete reps, and we had multiple like focus groups with different athletes from all around the world, different ages, from junior, because let's be honest here, this change isn't for Jamie or I, because we'll be retired, you know, for LA 2028, but this is for the next generation of junior athletes. So they've been involved the whole way through this process, and they're the ones who are the most important here, because this is the sport for them. And you don't want to be 16 years old, and then suddenly this is in the Olympic Games. Like, this is for them. So it's really important. And we've involved them the whole way through. And gosh, being on the ground at competitions, Jamie and Yasser, there was at least an athlete representative at every trial as well, that test event that we had. It was pretty full on. And I actually don't know many other sports that have really listened or been approachable, I suppose, to having athlete views the whole way through. So, you know, I have to commend them on that.
You know, when we became athlete reps, that was something that we said that was really important to us. I think, and I stand to be corrected, it's the first time where there's been three or four, sometimes five athletes within meetings, within executive board meetings, within focus groups, within ad hoc working groups, depending what new name they come up with to call a group. It's been unprecedented in the number. And yes, there's always going to be difficulties with change, but I don't think you can fault the communication that the athlete committee have had with the athlete community. And that I spent 2 days myself. I called something like 57 different nations, different athletes, to speak to their athlete reps with Tal and Yasser's help. And that for me was one of our sort of crowning moments, where afterwards we were able to sit back and say, you know what, we've really done a good job. It's easy to us just to give our opinions, but we're here to represent the athletes. So I think we've done a great job listening to them.
It was like the criteria laid out by the IOC. We followed that down to the T with our working group. And from that working group, there was a certain amount of possibilities of sports that were narrowed down. And then we went from there and we went and had a focus working group with our athletes that we kind of brought together as a whole. And then they kind of fed back on what they believed or what they didn't believe. And we kind of really nitpicked around it. And then we went out again to the athlete community for some kind of just surveys. And we went back in again and we had kind of a culmination of it. There was a in-person working group with all our experts. Like, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at some of the lists that we got to work with. That in itself was amazing. You know, Terence Burns, you had Michael Payne, Peter Hutton, just it was fantastic.
And David Hill.
Oh, David Hill as well. Sorry, can't believe I nearly forgot David. You know, we've got to be there with them in person. And then we had two presentations and then it was voted on. So there was a massive long time period of consultation. And it really was thought through what could hit all those IOC criteria and be the best, not kind of only for our sport, but kind of what would be the best for the Olympic movement to try and bring a bit of that bonus to it as a whole for future.
You know, the IOC is very much going down the road of urban sports. We've seen it now with skateboarding coming in, surfing coming in. Because Natalia, you mentioned there at the beginning, you know, Ninja, it's really popular in America. It's very urban. It's very dynamic. It's very youth oriented. Was that subconsciously playing a role as well to say, well, we've got a chance to bring something in. Let's go down the road that the IOC is also looking at.
If you look at cricket used to be 5 day. It's now 3 day, it's now 1 day, it's now 2020, it's now 100, and they're doing that to capitalize on sort of society's demands of fast, exciting, fun sports that you can sit back and watch for an hour or 2 hours at the max, and enjoy it. And that's where, you know, pentathlon has evolved over the last couple of years. We've gone from static shooting to laser run, which has really brought a new fun element to it, a new dynamic element to it. We've brought it down from 5 days to 1 day. It's now 90 minutes, and I've been working quite closely with the UIPM on their sort of broadcasting side. Hopefully Tal's been tuning in to watch, and I think that's been a real hit. So yeah, it's essentially this opportunity where we can say to the IOC, look, this is something that can really add value.
How does it all sort of come into the mold now as we move ahead?
You know, this is the year that we kick off with obstacles. So I think it's the Junior World Championships, I want to say July or August, which are in Ankara, Turkey, or Istanbul, Turkey, where they're going to host the first inaugural obstacle championships.
Yeah, I think this year is going to be a really good test because you're going to get the juniors doing it as well, who are there the ones that will carry it on into 2028 as well. So not that the older athletes don't matter, but, you know, the youth are going to hit it hard because they're going to be the ones who want to get to grips with this early so that they can bring it into LA 2028. And I think it'll be really exciting to see, you know, we've done the test events, but it'll be really exciting to see now how it fits in modern pentathlon currently at the moment, and to see what it's like in major championships with medals, real medals contested on the line.
How do you feel about it sitting where you are now and seeing this new exciting wave coming into it? You kind of think, oh, I wish you could roll back the years and start all at the beginning. And
yeah, like it's hard not to be a little bit, me and Jamie talked about this a while ago, it's like hard not to be a little bit jealous of them in a way, because, you know, like for me, like I'd love to. I think I'd be actually quite good at it. I'm quite a powerful athlete, so I think it could be something that I was really good at. And I love the idea of how versatile the training would have been for it as well, like with the gym work or the different speed work. It's really exciting. So that's something that like I do wish I could kind of roll back the years.
I'm sort of quite lucky because I get to live it almost through from a coaching role, so I get to see it in its action. It's also, you know, I know a lot of national federations now are sort of scrambling to work out how they're going to fit this in, how they're going to train for it, how they're going to. So I think it's added a real, is it like impetus into our sport where now everyone's rethinking how we're going to win, how we're going to grow, and also you don't just have to chuck money at it because, like we spoke at the very start of this conversation, the affluent countries could force their way through. And suddenly it was like, yeah, we've just opened the door to a lot of nations that possibly wanted to try modern pentathlon or kind of did modern pentathlon, but they didn't really do modern pentathlons.
Well, those were the thoughts there of Ireland's Natalia Coyle and Britain's James Cook. Don't forget, you can catch up with all the latest in the world of Olympic sport by subscribing to the Sport Intern newsletter produced daily Monday to Friday. So until next time, stay safe.